This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Live in the studio this morning, we have Chris Hornbecker. He is the CEO of a company called Xgility. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks for having me today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to talk about bowling. We're not going to talk about hockey today. We're going to talk about SharePoint. But before we dig a deep dive into SharePoint, Chris, tell us about your background and how you wound up running this company called Xgility, please.
Well, John, as you know, we had the opportunity to work together several years ago. I've built several technology companies, and several years back, we set out to build a company of smart but humble people that helped utilize the SharePoint platform to solve problems in the federal space. I guess now for 3 years, we've grown about 100% year over year, and we're shooting that for that goal again. The idea for Xgility came, believe it or not, at a roundtable that I sat with you at. And as you were hosting CIOs and other people to this group, I just saw problems that I thought that we would be able to help fix with the SharePoint platform.
I've done 363 interviews, Chris. You're the first one to mention the word humble. Not too many humble people have been in the studio. So you've been involved in technology for many years. You've been involved in the federal world and also the commercial world as well. Is that right?
I have been. Our first company, we built automation systems that automated things from factories and warehouses to nuclear reactors. Hmm. From there, we were fortunate enough to sell off some of the technologies and move on into building large commerce portals during the commerce boom, and ended up building a lot of collaboration technologies using, you know, the .NET platform and custom code for associations and commercial organizations.
I think collaboration is the phrase that pays today. We're talking about collaboration, talking about SharePoint, and a technology called Yammer. And many of my listeners, Chris, they are charged in a situation where maybe the CIO comes up to them and says, we've got to harness this social media to make our agency more productive. How can we do it? Or we have to collaborate. How can we do it? And one obvious solution, I think, is SharePoint. And that's what we're going to do a little dive in today, talk about SharePoint and where it fits in. And so where does SharePoint fit in? So for a typical govy who's listening, where does SharePoint fit in?
Well, I think SharePoint fits in multiple places. And one of the things that we see about SharePoint is it can be just an online file share, as many of the people started to use it well back in the 2003, 2005 timeframe. But it's also a platform to build rich applications that can aggregate data and build portals. With Microsoft's BI stack, you can aggregate data and build portals that help people and federal workers make better decisions. Aside from that, there's the search component and the collaboration component, which helps solve, federal problems of all types, from, our maturing workforces and making sure that we can capture and save knowledge, to making decisions faster.
There are listeners who know all about SharePoint, and there are listeners that maybe, a few years back, SharePoint came in and something about file shares and moving them off of the server or something. So what has happened to SharePoint? Well, it's been around since the early 2000s, hasn't it? How has it changed and matured?
So as a platform, it really has matured as far as being able to build other applications on top of it and more social features within the platform. Many of in the early days, many of the people who deployed SharePoint took their X or Z drives and just stuck them out in a web portal so they were accessible anywhere, any place, anytime type thing. As the platform's matured, we're seeing a lot more people building workflow applications within the platform, using the search tools to search data, and also, integrating other apps like OneDrive and Yammer to make sure that people can find information faster.
So tell me about OneDrive. So is OneDrive kind of similar to services like Dropbox, or what exactly is OneDrive?
So OneDrive is similar to Dropbox, but, thinking of your audience here in the federal CIO, I have to think about why is OneDrive important to him or her. And if you think about the whole shadow IT syndrome going on right now, is people are finding ways to use social technologies. They're finding ways to use cloud technologies to support their work, whether they're taking their files home, whether they want to work on them from their mobile device, you know, or whether they're just trying to share them with an outside party. You know, of course, we know there's some federal regulations that prevent people from doing so. But what we want to do is empower the federal CIOs to have a way to have a controlled and risk-free environment to give their staff and their workers to share documents. So if you think about the OneDrox or the Box technologies, you know, some people, and there's some rogue groups out there and agencies going ahead and using those on their own, we want to empower the federal CIO by giving him a controlled mechanism, meaning a OneDrive portal that he can actually control. It gets stored within their organization's data and backed up and, you know, can be recovered if necessary.
Also, tracking changes. I'm writing a blog post about Cloudera, and I'm having one of the guys I work with, a technology guy, review it. And so he said, well, just put up in Google Docs. So we put up in Google Docs. Well, wait a minute. How do you track changes? Well, you can track changes, but very, very difficult. I think the key word for SharePoint is that yes, we can share documents, and by the way, yes, we can track changes, and it's easy. I mean, there's a lot to be said for easy.
Well, there's something to be said for working within the applications that we work within every day, and you know, most everybody that we've seen has a Microsoft Office desktop environment, and SharePoint works great with that environment. We do see new technologies coming out that will replace some of the workflow engines within SharePoint. And in my personal opinion, this isn't a Microsoft announced event, but I believe that we will start working and doing workflows from directly within Office.
Wow. Yeah. I signed up for Microsoft Office 365 in December. And when you sign up, what's interesting, it just assumes that you understand OneDrive and you assume sharing. It's not forcing it. It's not an option. It's just, this is how we do work here in 2014.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, Microsoft Office is the progression of a product or a technology that used to be called Microsoft BPOS, which was Business Productivity Online Suite. I think Microsoft got it right this time around with naming it Office 365, but we are seeing a huge uptick in the amount of pilots and federal agencies that are starting to try using Office 365. There's some really great advantages of having the components of Office 365 out in the cloud.
So if you're listening to this radio interview as a podcast, maybe when there's snow on the ground and you're scratching your head going, no, wait a minute, I've heard SharePoint several times. I thought SharePoint was like storing stuff in the cloud or maybe on a server somewhere and retrieving it. But I think what you're saying, Chris, is that SharePoint actually allows for workflow, for compliance with regulatory guidelines, for auditing reporting. So it really did a whole lot of tools in one.
Sure. And, you know, I mentioned before, John, that a lot of people start with file sharing out in the cloud or out on a network, having a web portal that allows them to open their documents anywhere, any place, anytime. But, you know, we've built SharePoint portals ranging from SharePoint farms that support over 100,000 users to farms that support 2,000 to 3,000. These type of SharePoint portals range from delivering workflow applications for automated forms processing to building public portals to allow an agency to interact with the public.
You know, I think that's the lesson is that I work for a small company and I write a 600-word blog post and I kick it back to a technical person to just double check some of the terms I use. But in an agency, all of a sudden you have some regulatory guidelines. You can't be that casual about it. You have to make sure things are backed up and makes things are collaborated upon, but they have to be in a secure environment.
Most definitely. And I see that, we still have a lot of on-premise SharePoint deployments where we have the normal backup procedures. But, you know, one of the things that the cloud and the Office 365 suite takes away is the worry for managing it and providing that daily management, the backups. You know, once it's out in the cloud, Microsoft does all that for you.
So when Vivek Kundra sat in that chair 3 or 4 years ago and talked about cloud first, well, I guess this is a net result. Several years later, large organizations that are involved in enterprise type of activities are starting to look at tools and going, well, actually, SharePoint's not a bad tool for having a large group of people. I mean, 100,000 users, that's enterprise level, isn't it?
It is quite an enterprise level. It's a little bit of a challenge getting everybody to play together and adopt, but once you build a centralized service at a federal agency, it can kind of go viral and take off on its own.
I just can't imagine setting up some Google Docs for 100,000 people and worrying about version control and security and compliance. It's got to be real difficult. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this strange technology called Yammer. Yammer is a big part of what we're going to talk about today as far as collaboration and social media. And this morning, Chris, I got on the internet. I looked up the word Yammer. Yammer means to make a loud, repetitive noise. So maybe you and I together will make repetitive noises about this technology called Yammer. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Chris Hornbecker. He's the CEO of a company called Xgility. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Chris Hornbecker. He's the CEO of a company called Xgility. For more information, you can visit his website, xgility.com. You can get all kinds of information about his experience in the federal government and the commercial sector as far as deploying small SharePoint installations and very, very large ones. Well, Chris, here's a fun fact for you. I did my research on Yammer. 200,000 companies are on Yammer. I mean, who knew? It's an incredible number, isn't it?
That's a pretty awesome adoption curve, John.
Come on, give me your fun fact, Chris.
You said you had one. So I knew you liked fun facts, so I prepared one for you today.
Okay, hit me.
The government has over 2.65 billion end users.
Wow, yeah, they're driving to work, and they're left and right of me, huh?
And we passed half of them this morning, that's right.
Yeah.
So, but if you think about that, and you think about 2.65 billion end users, and we talk about a sum being greater than the parts, think about what kind of improvements we can do if we can get this 2.65 billion people talking together, chattering, sharing information.
Yeah, that's a challenge. And so that's where collaboration and SharePoint fits in and Yammer fits in. Tell me about Yammer.
So, you know, I've heard Yammer described as kind of a corporate Facebook, and many people think, you know, why do I want a Facebook for my office? Actually, I want most of my people in my office to stop playing on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about what it does is it's essentially a microblog. So what that means in less technical terms is it lets us just put stream of thoughts, things that we're doing, write a one or two word sentence down of things that we might be doing during the day. We might tag a file. And everybody, you know, the easiest way to probably describe something like this is if you think about Facebook and you think about the speed of information, how quickly you get the news and other things that are going on in your social networks now. You know, if I think about, well, maybe I wanted to see, maybe a person wanted to see their grandchildren's photo. You could have somebody else in that area that takes a picture of the photo, they tag the photo with their name, and all of a sudden it's showing up in their news feed. If you think about Yammer, very similar type of thing. We might have a piece of information that one worker in a geographically distributed area uploads a document and they tag it. The minute they tag it, if I'm following that type of tag or category, I'm seeing that information right away. So
is it called internal microblogging? Is that what we call Yammer?
Essentially, it is an internal microblogging. You know, like I don't want to get too technical because I don't want to confuse people and think, oh, I don't need that. We implemented Yammer in about, I think it took less than a week. It took off. We use it for helping each other study. We help it for sharing information. You know, one of the things that we have to do at Xgility, if we're trying to promote our knowledge sharing, we have to be the best at it internally. So with distributed folks that are all across the federal landscape, we use Yammer on a daily basis to help each other solve problems.
And there are agencies here that have people distributed all over the place. We don't have to talk about just FEMA, but Interior does. I mean, all kinds of agencies have that collaboration issue. And the problem with regular tools like Facebook is that maybe you want to have some secure conversations or topics that may not be open for public view. And I think Yammer accomplishes that. Now, so the way it works is, can I just sign up for Yammer? Do I have to be in the Microsoft environment? Do I have to be in SharePoint? Or where does Yammer fit in?
So they've recently added Yammer into the Office 365 tool suite. You do have to sign up for a Yammer account, but typically an organization can sign up and have an organizational Yammer account, and then you can share everything internally. So, for example, at Xgility, we have an internal deployment that we've integrated with SharePoint. So when anybody goes to our homepage of our SharePoint intranet, they see our Yammer feed. They see the most recent post. You can also subscribe to those posts and get them on your mobile devices. One of the ways that really help us in making information travel faster is people put those posts into Yammer. We might categorize those on different types of subjects. Along with Yammer, I could subscribe to an outside feed. So as part of a, you know, being a Microsoft partner in the portals and collaboration space, I might subscribe to one of the Microsoft Yammer feeds and also get those updates, you know, in a consolidated location.
Let me put Yammer in work boots. So on June 7th, there is a SharePoint conference coming in town. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
The SharePoint Saturday DC will be held at Chevy Chase on June 7th.
So I'm sitting in the audience, you're up there presenting. I can get my handheld device on, and I can have a conversation with the people in the room. Boy, this Chris Hornbecker, he really knows about Yammer, or this real Chris Hornbecker, he doesn't know anything about security. But the conversation can be very, very fluid and quick, can't it?
Most definitely.
Well, let's hope that. Tell us more about this June 7th event for our listeners.
So the June 7th event is going to be held at Chevy Chase, and the SharePoint community is really strong. We have a lot of folks out there, you know, people like Dan Usher doing a lot of work really building the community, and they have multiple events. It's a free event, and the speakers and contributors all give back into the community. It's really quite a unique community, one that you know, I've never been part of in other technology arenas.
So if you go to Google and type in SharePoint Saturday, where would you get information?
They would get information. I believe that the website is SPSDC, but if you give me 1 second, I'll find out. The best way to find it is to go to www.spevents.org. Mm-hmm. And once you go there, you're going to see all of the events that the SharePoint Saturday events are around the world. Right now, I'm looking at them. They're having them, looks like, from Brisbane to Oslo. Wow. To locally here in Chevy
and
Chase.
And Xgility is involved in this community and supports it in many different ways, and I think that's one of the characteristics of leadership for Xgility is leading in the SharePoint community.
Well, one of the things that we like to do, John, is really give back to the community. It's a, you know, a great way for us to learn and share. If we're all about sharing, you know, I will even say that, you know, many of my competitors in this space are all very helpful, and, you know, I guess it's the cooperation that they may call it. You know, sometimes we're competing, sometimes we're cooperating, but everybody in this community seems to be very willing to help each other and share. You know, I guess they should be, considering that's what this platform's about.
I'd like you to share your knowledge about Shadow IT. And I think Shadow IT started maybe 20 years ago when people like you, Chris, would bring in a desktop computer into the office and use Lotus 1-2-3 or something like that. And now we have people setting up Shadow IT where they're setting up maybe file stores outside of their normal environment. And this can cause problems for many administrators, can't it?
Well, I think this definitely causes problems, and it goes back to the importance of a really strong governance plan when you're putting in technologies, whether SharePoint, OneDrive, or other related type technologies. As you think about deploying those, you want to make sure that you have rules on retention, making sure that your workers are trained and educated on what type of information that they can and cannot take off of off premises.
And I think this is the key point here. Let's say I'm working for an agency, let's say Department of Commerce, and I get in my mind that I'm going to start something on Google Docs and share information with my colleagues. Well, that's great. Well, what happens if a year from now I get hit by a bus? Then all of a sudden we have some problems. With a technology like SharePoint, all of a sudden that can be funneled and directed and more carefully controlled than just Shadow IT or a rogue nerd, huh? Rogue technology person.
Well, you know, I do believe that that is one of the major advantages of SharePoint and the OneDrive technologies is we're placing much more control back into the CIO and the IT director level's hands for retentions and policies for documents that might be stored amongst any devices, mobile devices, and any place anywhere.
The company Xgility, when I first saw it, I thought of a term called agility and agile software development. I think what I'd like to do is maybe take a break and come back, ask about Xgility and SharePoint and Yammer and how this all works together. It's kind of confusing with social media and shares and talking about things in the community. I mean, maybe you can kind of wrap it all together and say, well, Xgility can actually help you deploy SharePoint in an agile manner. And we'll talk about that when we get back in just a couple minutes. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Chris Hornbecker, CEO of a company called Xgility. More information, go to xgility.com.
Management Friday on Federal News Radio. Friday mornings at 10, listen for the American Federation of Government Employee Workforce Perspective on Inside Government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch to learn the best career path for you. Management Friday on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning is Chris Hornbecker. He is the CEO of a company called Xgility, and they work with federal and commercial organizations to help them deploy tools that allow for collaboration. The tool we're talking about today is SharePoint. And earlier we mentioned Yammer, and then we talked about this and that and Office 365. And Chris, maybe you can paint a picture for me and maybe outline this in three or four different circles of who fits where and where Office 365 fits in this whole talk.
Sure, John. So if we talk about Office 365, it's really a collection or suite of tools that are out in the cloud. And, you know, it includes Yammer, OneDrive, SharePoint, Microsoft Link.
So Office 365 is the mothership.
It is. It's kind of the aggregation of all of those technologies. And, you know, we find that a lot of people start deploying Office 365 by moving their Exchange server off-premise. You know, nobody wants to sit and manage the Exchange server anymore. But as we look at that, you know, you have your email, your way of communicating via email. And I typically like to think of SharePoint, Yammer, and Link as different speeds at which information travel. Link is more of like a real-time messenger and chat. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can chat with somebody, you might find a document, you see the author, you right-click and start a conversation with them, chatting with them online. You know, with Link technologies, it's really, really pretty impressive now with other devices like Microsoft Surfaces, you can actually use it, you know, almost like a phone device too. So you can have a video chat with somebody. When you think of Yammer, I think of that as kind of, you know, you're near real time. It might be, so if you think about Link, you know, it requires a persistent connection to the other person that you're chatting or talking with. As many of us work behind the walls at federal agencies, sometimes you don't have that type of connectivity. So, you know, you might use your phone if I'm trying to solve a problem and put a quick Yammer post out. As other people within the organization see that, they might respond. And then I think of SharePoint as your long-term knowledge share. That's where we're storing all of our documents. We're indexing it for, you know, ease of use and easy to find information.
I have a friend who's got a bunch of boys. I'm taking them down to Nationals to watch them here with my son. And they look at Bryce Harper as a role model. I go, oh, I want to be just like Bryce Harper and dive headfirst into home and everything else. Are there role models for agencies to follow as far as making this adapting to Yammer and SharePoint and Office 365? What should they follow?
Well, John, one of the things that you know we've done in the past is we have built this center of excellence model for collaboration at large federal agencies. Xgility teammates give the speech at different SharePoint Saturdays. I believe we probably have it out there on YouTube as well. But you know, one of the things that we find is I often get the calls and people say, "I need a SharePoint resource." Well, in making a big, large, 100,000 person SharePoint deployment successful, you don't just need a SharePoint resource. You might need different types of people. You might need a .NET developer. You might need a collaboration specialist. You might need a front-end InfoPath or SharePoint designer, you know, HTML5 CSS person that can make it really, really nice looking. And then you might need somebody who specializes in business and process and workflow. So, you know, I'd encourage the users out there as they start to build these models, we think about how do we build a shared center of excellence within an agency and share the resources so we have the right person working on the right task.
So your company, Xgility, provides resources for federal information professionals to learn more about collaboration, to learn more about Yammer. Maybe they've heard, you know, a friend in other agencies using Yammer. They can call you up and get a better idea of what kind of path they can use to adopt to it.
Hmm? Most definitely. I would encourage them to give us a call, and we'd be glad to help them out. One of the processes that we use, you know, obviously our name is Xgility. So we're a big believer in building big backlogs out there, but also do it big backlogs of all the ideas that might solve some of the agencies or mission problems. But then we like to pick those off and build real quick wins and quick successes as part of that model.
Earlier in the show, I talked about Google and Google Docs. I guess we got to talk about Amazon Web Services now, kind of the big three. But where does it all fit in this picture? Where does Amazon Web Services fit in with your company and with my federal listeners?
Sure. So if we think about how SharePoint is hosted, I'm only going to talk about, you know, major collaboration technologies and how we do that. There's a couple models for deploying SharePoint. We can deploy it on-prem, which would be buy the servers, put them in the customer's data center, bring them up and build out the SharePoint forms. The other way might be on the other end of the spectrum, Office 365. So we use the SharePoint component where it's sitting out in the cloud, and we don't think about that, how we have to worry about backups or building out the servers. There's a middle ground, basically, where customers come to us and they ask us, can you build us a SharePoint farm, but we don't want to have the servers within our building. In the past, we had used services like AWS, and we're currently hosting a couple international firms using AWS and have their SharePoint tools and their SharePoint BI platform built out in the cloud. But Microsoft's really made great inroads with their Azure services. And we're finding a lot of customers are starting to deploy SharePoint now into Azure, where we have this middle ground. So we have kind of the big, medium, and small as we do it.
Yeah, it is kind of confusing. I mean, an outsider trying to get a better idea of where Microsoft fits in this environment, it gets kind of confusing because the Microsoft Azure can host Linux applications, and Microsoft applications can be hosted on Amazon, and all of a sudden you start beating your head against the wall going, where it fits where, and how, what's the most efficient way I can use this collaboration technology?
Well, one of the things that I think that Microsoft done a really great job with Azure is the platform has really matured. And with relation to SharePoint, one of the things that we're seeing is somebody might have a SharePoint server on-premise, but in order to build a completely replicated environment, it takes a lot of hardware, a lot of effort, a lot of time. We can spin that up in Azure really quickly and build a dev test environment that allows them to have pretty much an environment that's mimicking their on-prem environment with integration between the tools such as Visual Studio and other things. We can then do continuous integrations and really improve the dev process and help our customers get more efficiently at building and deploying new updates to their software.
You know, I teach at a school down the road here. Many of my students read blogs or big into blogs. In fact, I force them to write blogs. I have a blog called Tech Tuesday Blog. I'll be writing about you. I have a picture of you in my blog. Are there blogs you can recommend? I mean, do you have any releases coming up with blogs in the next few weeks where my listeners can learn more about SharePoint?
So, John, after the continual harassment from you, I finally decided that we would put out a company blog. As is, and I'm joking there, obviously, because Yammer, as we mentioned, is a microblog. So we're blogging all day long, writing internal blogs, solving problems. One of the things that we challenged staff with was, we want to get some of our internal blogs that we're solving problems for our federal and commercial customers and turn that into an outward-facing, community give back. So this year at SharePoint Saturday, we will be launching the Xgility blog, which will be at blog.xgility.com, and hopefully sharing some, successes and wins and how we're solving problems across the federal and commercial space.
And I think that's one lesson is that if you are a govy and listening to this at 2 o'clock in the morning while you're preparing some kind of a PowerPoint presentation for the next day, and you know that your agency is being challenged to move into certain areas, you can go to a blog like yours, blog.xgility.com, and find out how other people have done it. And it's not just SharePoint, it's sharing knowledge that you have over the years, isn't it?
And that's our entire goal, is just to share and give back to the community. How can we share to help other people solve problems faster?
Would there be a situation where SharePoint would be recommended to be in the cloud for an agency? What situation would work for something called maybe a hybrid environment? And what situation would you'd have to have that server in the same floor as your agency?
There's a lot of things that we want to consider there. Obviously, we talked about a governance plan earlier, what do we allow shared within and with, external to the walls? There's certain agencies, to not name a few, but, some of the three letters and then also defense, where we would not want that information breached. So a lot of those agencies still have, farms sitting behind the walls or within their own private cloud and stored. If there's an agency that might just need to share some information with vendors, I'm seeing more and more pilots that are going out there into Office 365. We're also seeing some larger agencies now going into the government cloud of Microsoft with Office 365. Everybody asks us, like, well, is that secure? And, I equate it to when I'm running a data center, and John, we used to do that. We have a few security guys watching the firewalls. I would much rather have all of Microsoft's professionals watching the firewalls and maintaining security as people are trying to break in.
And I think it just parallels what's going on in the commercial world. In the commercial world now, people don't want to go buy physical servers, hire human beings to maintain the servers, and when those human beings leave, replace them with those. I mean, it makes a whole lot more sense to move to more of a collaborative environment. I think this is what it's collaboration individually, but it's collaboration technically as well. So it seems to be the way the commercial world is operating and the federal government as well. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about Xgility, Agility, and SharePoint. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Chris Hornbecker. He is the CEO of Xgility.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio.
I would rather give an ostrich a pedicure than play this.
Your turn with Mike Causey, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. only on Federal News Radio. Check out Mike's column, The Federal Report, weekdays at federalnewsradio.com, or sign up to have Mike's daily column delivered directly to your email.
You know, they're probably going to find out in 20 years that carrying one of these in your wallet causes your buttocks to fall off.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Chris Hornbecker. He is the CEO of a company called Xgility. More information at xgility.com. They are very, very strong supporters of SharePoint. In fact, they support the SharePoint community in town. There's an event coming up on June 6th. It's called SharePoint Saturday. I'm sure if you fire up your search engines, type in SharePoint Saturday, SharePoint support groups, you'll find out because they have these events regularly. And by the way, they buy the bagels and they provide information and support. And I think it's hard to find companies in town that actually support users of technology. I always encourage that. I think that's very, very important. Many of my users use Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. I have a silly picture of me with these Oculus Rift glasses on. Do you have any Twitter presence, Chris?
We do. We actually have our company Twitter, which is at Xgility, and I have a personal Twitter handle, which is at Chris Hornbecker.
Great. So get sports stories and scores at Chris Hornbecker.
Well, typically, I do a lot with the personal Twitter handle to recruit and attract new team members at Xgility. Our at Xgility is really about news in the SharePoint community, but it's also a little bit about fun too. I got to give big props out there to Kurt Greening because I saw that, he took some customers out, some of our commercial customers out fishing yesterday, and he didn't come back empty. So
oh, that's
nice
good.
Work, Kurt.
Good, good, good. Is there such thing as a Yammer handle? Do you have a Yammer handle too?
There isn't Yammer handle, but there are Yammer groups that you can belong to. So, the Yammer group, I believe at Microsoft, is called SP Yam, and it's just a link that's added to yammer.com.
Good, good, good. Every person that's on the air here takes a technology test, and the people listening are going, oh, this guy here, Chris, he's got a degree in engineering. He claims to be a nerd, but then he knows about fishing, so I don't know if he's a real nerd or not. So what I've designed is a scientific test, and it asks 10 questions, and we run it through my little computer in my basement, my UNIVAC. We find out if, in fact, you are a card-carrying nerd or not. So the first question to you, Chris, is... So I break into your house tonight. How many old school desktops do I see sitting around your house?
You will see one, John.
Well, that's a negative point there, young man. And how many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
I think this is going to be another negative. It might be the first time in 15 years that I haven't purchased a new cell phone within a year.
Whoa, you're sinking fast here. The nerds are getting very, very disappointed. Do you have a personal Twitter feed? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And do you have a personal blog?
I do not have a personal blog.
Okay, negative points there. And do you use any of these online personal backup services?
I do not. So I'm going to get negative points for that, John.
No, it's positive points.
Okay, all right. So I don't use online backup, but I do have a network-attached storage device in my basement.
Well, you get a lot of points. NAS in your basement. Now, that is something. And online personal backup is frowned upon by some technologists. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I do have an iPhone 5.
Okay. And what is the most popular app? What app have you used most in the last 30 days?
I've definitely been using the SkyDrive and new Office apps on the iPhone.
Ooh, a company man using those. Good, good, good. And we break into your house this evening. How many tablet devices do we see floating around your house?
Well, I laughed when I heard you might ask this question because I think I have more tablets than I do people in my house, John. I have an old school Kindle that I occasionally read on. I have a lot of Apple iPads. And unfortunately, since I have a 4-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 10-year-old, I have multiple iPads with smash screens.
How many working tablets
there you
have?
Go. And my favorite device though here is my Microsoft Surface.
We have to talk about that in a few minutes. That's great.
Traveling around with that.
And what social networking sites are you active in?
I am active on Facebook, mainly to keep you know, our kids or my parents abreast of all the kids' activities. We send all the hockey and cheer pictures and all stuff. Keep in touch with friends. And, you know, professionally, I'm on LinkedIn.
And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
The last book I read was electronic.
Well, you're kind of saving yourself here. You had a slow start. And I will run this through the UNIVAC in my basement, print it out on green bar, and take it to the U.S. mail and mail it to you, and we'll find out exactly what level of nerdosity. It's really kind of a mid-nerd. You're closer to a cool guy than a nerd, but you have to work on some of your nerdish. I mean, you really do. Maybe a pocket projector, thick glasses or something, Chris, something like that.
I'll see what I can pull off from there.
So I'm looking across at you at the microphone. I see this Surface. Well, tell me about this Surface. What is it anyway?
So, you know, a Surface is, you know, I guess it's Microsoft's answer to the iPad. And what I find that I like about it, it really can be a PC replacement. So it can run all of the desktop apps, but it's still in a form factor that lets me travel with my tablet. It's a really lightweight device, has a keyboard, and it has the full Office suite running on it.
Wow, it's amazing. Speaking of mobility and mobile devices, Dan Zarella is a data scientist, and last week he released a report on email trends. And he looked at 500 million emails through different services, and what he found out was that 47% of emails are read on mobile devices. So mobile, I mean, Microsoft better be tied into mobile, and I hope SharePoint's tied into mobile, because if it ain't, you're in a big trouble, aren't you?
You most definitely are. And I think that's one of the greatest improvements that I've seen from some of the Office apps is Microsoft has recently put out free apps for the iPad. And obviously, if you're on the Microsoft Surface, it's really easy to connect to SharePoint, connect to OneDrive. And, you know, I don't have files on my desktop anymore. They're all sitting in my OneDrive. So if I'm on my computer, my phone, or my Surface, I have access to any of the information I want.
I imagine there's an app for Yammer for iPhones and whatnot, aren't there? There's got to be.
There most definitely is.
And so if you are considering Yammer and you're madly in love with your Apple iPhone, well, the geez, you know, not going to limit you. You can use it as well. So where would you use a Surface and not use a tablet? Or what's the application for the Surface?
So typically what I find is, you know, I sometimes when I'm sitting in my office, I will use my desktop. But if I'm on a Surface Pro, I can still do all the applications that I would on a desktop while I'm traveling. You know, as you see here in the studio, I have it with me today. It's a nice portable device, and you know, keyboard detaches, so I can turn it into tablet mode pretty quickly.
Good. I want to talk about mobile devices and go from handheld devices to wearable devices like Google Glass and the future of technology, the IT, the Internet of Things. Where's this all going to head? Where's SharePoint going to head? We've seen SharePoint go from moving file shares to a collaborative platform. Who could have envisioned that 7 or 8 years ago? Where's this all going to head? Where's SharePoint going to head 10 years from now?
So I don't have the exact numbers on the fun fact for you, but I do believe that SharePoint was one of the fastest selling servers of Microsoft of all time. I believe that it's just going to become ubiquitous within the Office suite. The days of having a shared drive out there, an X to Z drive, have pretty much gone away. And, you know, SharePoint will be that one-stop platform that you start your workday, whether you're going to seek and find information, whether you're posting something to one of your teammates, or whether you're going in to look at a dashboard or start a workflow, SharePoint will be that one-point stop for all those activities.
Now, Chris, I'm an old geezer. I remember the 60s and 70s, they talked about the big three auto manufacturers. And if we look at the cloud, we look at the big three cloud companies, which Amazon, Google, and Windows Azure. And if you read studies about Windows Azure, you find out that, you know what, they're priced competitively in the commercial world. I mean, that surprised me when I found that out.
You know, they're very, very competitive. You know, I joked earlier with you at break, John, that, you know, we have a mantra at Xgility of no servers. And we still do not have one physical server on-prem running any of our infrastructure. All of it was originally deployed in AWS. And we had a few difficulties there. But for most parts, it operated really well. We've most recently moved everything and converted over to Azure. And here within another week or two, we have a pretty big announcement that we're going to make with regards to Xgility and providing an Azure offering.
And this is such a fluid, loose environment. On April 1st, all kinds of pricing changes from Amazon. And guess what? Microsoft responded and dropped their prices as well. I mean, this is a very competitive environment. With competition like that, my listeners win.
Your listeners definitely win. And if you think about the whole component for moving everything to the cloud, is it's really become a pay-as-you-go environment. So, you know, we're going to pay for what we want to use or what we need, not pay for something and then have a processor in a back room sitting at, you know, 5%.
So back to the old Japanese model of just-in-time manufacturing. You remember that, huh? And agile software development. And to tell you the truth, I was doing some research for this interview, and I looked up pricing on Windows. I always thought Windows was going to be the highest in town. I thought it was going to be high-priced. But that's the biggest surprise from this interview with you, is that, no, it's competitive for the government. It's competitive for some guy with a tire store in Bethesda.
It's very competitive, and the management tools have matured to make it one of the top-tier cloud services out there.
Collaboration, sharing information, Exchange is all part of this, Office 365. I think it's a solution that listeners should consider for now and in the future. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Chris Hornbecker, CEO of Xgility. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for having me, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.